More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, compassion fatigue. Is taking care of other people in your life wearing you out? We want to help you find a better balance. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, compassion fatigue. That's what we call the burnout we get from taking care of other people. And, you know, it's good to be there for others, but that doesn't mean it isn't hard work. And if you're feeling burned out from taking care of small children, troublesome adult children, an elderly parent, a struggling spouse, a drama magnet friend or family member, or anyone else who is constantly seeking your help, let us help you strike a better balance. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Now, sometimes when we're getting burned out from taking care of others, it's because those others are problematic. You know, the person who really will drain you, the person who's never grateful, the person who always asks for more, the person who will do nothing for themselves. And we are certainly here if you need to recover from dealing with that kind of person and figure out how to do it differently so you stop feeling so drained and so used. But often, it's also just because we're caring people. So the people may not be problematic at all. You may love and adore them, but you're doing it all the time. You're caring for the children and the family and the house all the time. You're working to keep, you know, you're a roof over your head for everybody you love all the time. You're helping out your adult parents. You're a retired adult grandparent who's suddenly taken care of your grandchildren, either part of the time because you're helping out your adult children, or all of the time because you've inherited your grandchildren for one reason or the other, and you thought, okay, I really worked hard at this my whole life, and I thought this would be my time to recuperate, and now I'm doing it all over again at an age and stage I didn't expect to. Maybe it's that you are taking care of everything at work and nobody's coming alongside of you. The emotional labor, as well as the physical labor, of being the person who does the caring is exhausting. And when we talk about the emotional labor, we mean the worrying, the planning, all the things that have to go into making sure, all the thinking and the arranging that goes into helping to care for anyone in any situation, it can leave us depleted, burned out, and feeling compassion fatigue. And that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. So if you are taking care of other people and it's wearing you out, and you need to find some balance or recover from that burnout, we are here to help you today. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And again, it's important to be there for others, but it is hard work. And God doesn't ask us to be there for others in ways that burn us out. And that is kind of a common misconception in Christian circles, that the theology of the body can help to clarify. And every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections on what it means to be a Christian disciple in the modern world and how we can begin to discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that the Holy Spirit places two calls on each person's heart. The first is the need to care for others. The second is the need to take care of ourselves so that we have more to give to others. Both of these calls recognize that we can only discover our true purpose by making a gift of ourselves. But taken together, they help us be generous without burning out. We often feel guilty for having needs, but the theology of the body reminds us that having needs is part of having a body.
Shocker,
God
I know,
gave
right?
us our needs, right? God gave us our needs, and he expects that we can meet them and expect others to help us meet them so that we can keep being as generous as we ultimately are called to be. We see this because Jesus was incarnate. He often needed time to go away and be with his Father and have quiet. So
he
could not burn out. If God himself needed that, so much more must we.
Well, so we need to make sure that our plan to care for others actually incorporates ways that we get our own needs met too. And if we can't do that on our own, it's important to ask others to help us, even if we sometimes have to insist on it. You know, we were created for communion. And communion is created when we acknowledge each other's God-given needs and work together to make sure that everyone's needs are met. That's how we create community, right? We show up for each other, and we show up for each other's needs. And the key to making this happen is remembering to negotiate the how and the when, but not the what. What do I mean by that? Well, selfish people want what they want, when and how they want it. But healthy people, healthy Christians in particular, know what they need, but they're confident in asserting those needs, but also being flexible about how and when those needs get met. And that way, while we're attending to our own needs, we're making sure to create plenty of space to meet the needs of others along the way. You know, and that balance helps us be totally generous without burning out. Now, there's an art to that, you know, negotiating the how and the when, but not the what. So let's talk about what that means in your situation. And again, you know, whether you're feeling a little burned out from taking care of small children or troublesome adult children or an elderly parent or a struggling spouse or some drama magnet friend or family member or anyone else who's constantly seeking your help, let us help you strike a better balance so that you can be a man or woman for others, as St. Ignatius of Loyola put it, but still be your a person who has a right to have your own needs met too. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we were created to be generous to others, to use all of our gifts and talents, our whole selves, to work for the good of others. And yet you created us with bodies and with needs so that we could, by taking care of those needs, be even more generous to others. Help us to remember, Lord, that the call to service does not mean neglecting ourselves, but rather attending to our needs in ways that allow us to create space to be generous. Help us to have the courage to acknowledge our needs, to ask for help, and to even insist on help when necessary, so that by being generous to others and allowing others to be generous to us, we can create the communion that we were called to live in. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about compassion fatigue. That's the burnout that we get when we are taking care of other people in ways that aren't healthy for us and sometimes for them. It's good to be there for others, but that doesn't mean it's not hard work. And if you're feeling burned out, taking care of small kids, troublesome adult kids, an elderly parent, a struggling spouse, a drama magnet friend or family member, we are here to help. Let's talk it out and make sure that you can be as generous as you're called to be in ways that don't cause you to be a toasted OT. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk with our first caller of the day who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hello, Anonymous, on line one. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I have my mother-in-law. My husband's the only child, but she take care, make sure that he is 24/7 for available. And he's when he come home, he's drained with all the stuff that she tell him to do, and then she cancel. He goes there and make 10 appointments, and 10 appointments get canceled. She don't follow through, cancel the doctor's appointment, cancel other appointments, and you know,
so,
like he wastes.
So it says on my board that your mother-in-law is in a retirement home, but they've always had sort of a toxic relationship, and now she's placing all these demands, take me to the doctor, do this, do that, and now you're saying she doesn't even follow through with that stuff. Is that the nugget of it all?
Yes. You know, the night before she said, no, I cancel. We had no appointment. I cancel.
Right, so, have they always had a tense relationship?
No, not really. You know, until she moved closer to us, she always been for 40 years independent, doing her stuff. But we find out it's 6 years before this year she hasn't followed up with doctor's appointment or her health or anything.
Okay,
because she kept canceling.
Okay, so I guess first of all, before I ask you any more follow up questions here, what's your question for us? What can we do to help you?
You know, it's healthy for him to come home and start, like, unloading everything. It's like, she didn't do this, and she didn't do that, and she didn't do things like that. Is that healthy? Is that normal? You know?
No. In a word, no. But let me ask you this. Is he the... It sounds like, you know, when you say that she's in a retirement home, you know, that there are other people, you know, nursing staff, that sort of thing, who could make some of these things happen for her, or is that not the case?
Yeah, they are, but you know, she wanna like they come and clean her room. She wanna sit over there because she thinks everybody's stealing from her.
Mm. I understand.
She didn't watch that person, you know, then watch it, you know.
Is she struggling with dementia? Like, kind of, what's the situation there?
Yeah, there it goes, she has some mental issues, but yet she canceled all those doctor's appointments, the neurologists and doctors like that, and she canceled. She don't follow through, and you know, there's no way for my husband to accept that, yeah, there's something wrong mentally with her, or to prove it to him that, you know, there's something wrong about her memory.
The thing is, this strikes me that this isn't as much about your mother-in-law being demanding as it is your husband trying to... So what will often happen, okay, is that when we did not necessarily get what we wanted from our parent growing up, we end up feeling like we have to, we can finally get what we always wanted from them, for affirmation-wise or affection-wise, if we could just be good enough taking care of them in their adult years, you know, in their elderly years. That if I could just meet all these needs and make them happy, then I'll finally get that pat on the head that I always wanted. I'm putting it in very simplistic terms, but so overly simplistic terms. But my point is that very often when we're running ourselves ragged taking care of an elderly parent, it's not really because of their needs being so demanding. It's more about the that we need to do this to prove that, you know, I'm a good son or I'm a good daughter, you know, and to get the love from them that I was hoping to get. And I think that it would be helpful to either have that conversation with your husband or download the podcast of this show so that he can listen to my response to this. Because yes, your mother-in-law is demanding, certainly. But if he was in a healthy place with her, he would be able to say, well, Mom, you know, that is, you know, that's something that you need to talk to the social worker at your retirement home, or that's something that you need to talk to your nursing home. This is something you need to talk to the nurse about, or he would talk to the nurse about making that arrangement for the appointment, because, you know, presumably if she's in the place that you're saying that she is, they can make appointments for their residents and even take them there on the van, you know, that most nursing homes have, you know. So there are ways that your mother-in-law could be getting those needs met without your husband having to run himself ragged. The reason he's not using those alternative ways to meet those needs is because there's some emotional need that he has, that he wants to get mom's approval or mom's affirmation by doing all the things. And again, that's a very hard thing to escape. But if you're burning yourself down and you can't be present to your wife or perhaps to your children or to the other people that God has given you primary care over, then you're not attending to, you know, these other individuals in a healthy way. I'm not suggesting for a second that your husband or you should neglect your mother-in-law. But it doesn't mean that you personally have to attend to all of those things, especially if she's not cooperating, especially if he's not being effective. I mean, because, you know, when he runs around and schedules all this stuff for her and then she goes and cancels it, that's not helping her. And he's just burning himself out, not helping her, which doesn't make any sense. So what would make better sense is looking to the other people who could actually make the thing happen and follow through. And if she's not in a place that can make the thing happen and follow through, then she needs to be moved to a place where it can happen. Right? So that means that she's not in sufficiently skilled care to be able to attend to her needs.
And
so
you might need upgraded care, yeah. Absolutely.
So you want to look at all of that. But you know, the main issue here, this has to start with a conversation with your husband about what the need really is, or what the problem really is. It's not really about your mother-in-law being so demanding. It's about your husband struggling to set boundaries because he desperately wants to hear that he's been a good son. And sometimes that's not something we're going to hear from our parent, unfortunately. Sometimes that's
not because we weren't good children, but because our parent just isn't capable of giving that affirmation to us. They weren't as we were growing up, and they're certainly not now when there's a bit of a physical distance between us and them.
And so where we get that need met is in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, in healthy relationships with our spouse and children, and sometimes by doing some work with a professional counselor to help heal those attachment wounds. But that's where he needs to be looking. And so, again, if you want to share this conversation with your husband, I encourage you to do so. If you'd like me to do the heavy lifting, then by all means, download the podcast and play it and discuss it together. Because, you know, there are ways to set boundaries with this, even with the most demanding parent, that allow you to create space for yourself. It's not easy, and it's always a struggle, but it doesn't have to be this exhausting. Thank you so much for the call, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again, or if you had this conversation with your husband and you have follow-up questions, please feel free to call us. 877-573-7825. We're talking about compassion fatigue. That's the name for the burnout that happens when we're taking care of other people in ways that aren't actually healthy for us, and sometimes not for them. You know, are you feeling worn down taking care of the people that depend on you? Small children, for example, or troublesome adult children, an elderly parent, like we were talking about with our previous caller, a struggling spouse, or a drama magnet friend or family member, or anyone else who's constantly seeking your help and attention and draining your energy. Let us help you strike a better balance. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let us help you figure out how you can be generous in caring for others while not neglecting yourself. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Tim and Sue Muldoon, who'll be sharing some insights both from our Catholic tradition and from good psychology that will help all of us do a better job caring for others while caring for ourselves. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues right after the break.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak, and our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today our show is titled Compassion Fatigue, as we look at the challenge we all face in trying to be there for others and take care of others without burning ourselves out in the process. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Tim and Sue Muldoon. They are the, well, Sue is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. Tim is a professor of philosophy at Boston College. And they're the authors of several books, including Reclaiming Family Time. Welcome, guys.
Great to be with you.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here. Now, Tim, let's start with you, because you're actually very good at explaining something I mentioned earlier in the show, which is, we often feel guilty because we need some time to take care of ourselves, but we can look to the fact that Jesus, because he was incarnate, we often see him taking breaks, going away, being with the Father. Tell us how that informs us in terms of our feelings about needing to take care of ourselves.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. We're incarnate creatures, and therefore we're not eternal, therefore we're not perfect, and so we do need to recharge our spiritual and physical batteries. So we see Jesus doing that, going off to pray, communicating with the Father alone, even getting tired, getting exasperated from time to time. His attitude toward Peter in a couple of places is rather short. You know, you get the sense that there's a little edginess there. So, you know, Jesus himself feels that it's not sinful, but it is certainly a clue to the point you're making. We need to take care of ourselves. I see that as related to even the structure of Sabbath and the very creation of the order of the world, that God orders us to rest. You know, we are not God. We need to take care of ourselves if we are to be there for others.
That's a really interesting insight, and I want to kind of shift over to you, Sue, and as a pastoral counselor, you know, what advice do you give to your clients who are trying to strike this balance between caring for others and caring for themselves?
This comes up very frequently, and one of the basic concepts I go over with my clients is the idea that we all have a natural limit to our time, energy, and attention, and we have additional resources we can draw on, but we have to understand when we balance our time, energy, and attention and whatever those natural limits are with like almost like another column of what are our expectations? What are the expectations that others are placing on us that we have on ourselves? And if we look at the contrast between those things, our brain reads that as stress and sometimes distress if it's too much of a distance. And so we have to recognize that it is like a natural limit, almost like a budget, like a financial budget that we only have so much to spend. And if we don't have, when we run out, we have to be able to find ways to recharge and restore that. And so the fact that someone else has concerns that are significant or legitimate doesn't change the fact that we need to manage our resources well and set our expectations in balance with what we're actually able to offer. And, you know, just in the way that we might say, oh, this is a very important need, but I have a limit to what I can give financially without neglecting the other kinds of things I'm legitimately responsible for. The same can be true in terms of our emotional and, you know, spiritual energy. So we can avoid this if we are setting good boundaries along the way when we're having to be present to another person and making sure that we're tending to, you know, I can do this for you, but it's okay for me to say this is I can only do so much without neglecting the other things I'm responsible for, which includes taking care of myself so that I don't become in a place where I have such a deficit that it leads me to then feel so depleted that I feel overburdened. And that's often what can lead to resentment. And we always want to avoid that. It's almost like finding like, okay, I've overspent and now I feel like I can't do that at all anymore. Can I say like, this is a little bit, or if we're realizing we're getting to that point where we do feel that compassion fatigue, being gentle with ourselves, that just means we've maybe not been as aware of the boundaries we need to, and we can reflect on what do I need to kind of replenish that bank account, so to speak, which then speaks back to what Tim was saying about how we say, how did Jesus do it? He went aside to pray. He took some time. He was even willing to, you know, ignore the crowd that was clamoring for more of his attention and say, hey, I need a little bit of time before I can come back and be present and give you what I know you legitimately need.
And, you know, I think it's, you know, it goes back to this idea that, you know, when we take care of ourselves, you know, we are taking care of ourselves with the express intention of giving back to others. It's not just about taking care of ourselves. It's about, you know, it's about sharpening the tool. It's about taking good care of the instruments that God uses us to be present to others. And I want to thank you for highlighting, you know, God's command to rest and ways that we can make sure that we're attending to ourselves even while we're taking care of others. Tim and Sue Muldoon, authors of several books, including Reclaiming Family Time, which is really about setting those boundaries so that you can create space for your family. Check it out. And when we come back, we are taking your calls about all this and more. 877-573-782.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Learn and spread the word about the food, clothing, parenting classes, financial assistance that these resource centers provide moms, and not just for a few weeks after the baby is born, but often for up to 4 years after birth. Don't assume that just because you haven't heard about pro-life resources or efforts that they don't or aren't available, or that the church hasn't been involved. The media, and I know this firsthand from my years of experience, have been working with the abortion industry to suppress information about resources, as well as totally misrepresent or blatantly lie about what the pro-life community offers moms and families in need. And last but not least, do some homework and prayerfully give thanks to these pro-life warriors and consider becoming a pro-life warrior yourself.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band. And I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child. But I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Arguments about money are well known as one of the leading causes of divorce, but these arguments actually have very little to do with financial know-how. Rather, it's about the goals you and your spouse have for your finances and how you feel your money should be used. Here are four steps to managing money problems in your marriage. Step 1. Examine your conscience. Do your ideas about money line up with what the church teaches about money? Step 2. Pray about your finances together. Letting God enter into your financial decisions helps couples to act as a team instead of two opposing forces. Step 3, use your problem-solving tools. Resolve to take care of your spouse through your money decisions, but use numbers to make decisions, not feelings. And step four, get professional help. You need access to right knowledge to make a sound financial decision for your family's future. See, talking about money doesn't have to be a negative experience. For more marriage guidance, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we're talking about compassion fatigue. That is the label that is used for burnout that comes from taking care of other people, often in ways that aren't healthy for either us or them. And, you know, this is something that's really at the heart of the theology of the body. You know, St. John Paul, before he was Pope John Paul, wrote a book called Love and Responsibility, where he focused on those two qualities, love and responsibility, being at the heart of Christian discipleship and the heart of taking care of others. So to love somebody means to work for their good. To be responsible, in St. John Paul's kind of language, meant to be able to respond in ways that were good for others and ourselves, right? That worked for our ultimate good and others at the same time. So to love means to work for our good and others' good. To be responsible means to be able to respond in ways that are loving, that work for our good and for the good of others. And that's what we're talking about today, because it's only by working for the good of others in ways that are also good for us that we can create communion, that we can live in peace, and that we can be healthy and encourage the health of others. If you're struggling to make that happen because, you know, maybe you're burning out from taking care of your small kids or your troublesome adult children or an elderly parent or a struggling spouse or a drama magnet friend or a family member that you care about but's wearing you down, let us help you strike a better balance so that you can be the generous person God is calling you to be while at the same time not burning out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Bethany, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Bethany. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, good morning. I take care of three young children, 5, 3, and 3 months.
And are these your children? You take care of them.
Yes.
Yes. No, that's all right. I just make sure I understood. Okay, go on.
Yeah, they're my beautiful babies.
Okay.
And I've been married to my husband for 6 years, mm-hmm. and about in 2020 realized I caught him in a gambling addiction. Mm-hmm. I had grace and compassion for him then, and, you know, we did marriage counseling. I got him your book about Beatitudes, how to heal your marriage. I mean, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently have caught him again. And not only with that, but he has also, you know, put our family in danger.
Yeah.
With dealing with these type of people. You know, I spoke to him last night. And,
okay, so not just financial danger, but the people he's indebted to are dangerous.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
Dear. Okay.
So I tried... obviously, I have compassion burnout, and I don't know, is it right for me to say, it's time for you to go? Is that compassionate? Is that what I should do? I mean...
Okay. Yeah, no, that's a terrific question.
I do have one more question in here. You did a lot of great things in terms of trying to buoy up your family and your marriage. Did he go to a recovery program? Is he in a recovery program for his gambling addiction?
No, but he saw a therapist centered on that.
Okay. And when did that stop? Or why? Or how did that stop, I guess, is the question.
Basically, probably like three months ago. And we had, you know, just had our last baby. And so just kind of with that, I guess.
Okay.
But this entire time, even with all of the counseling and therapy, it's still been going on.
Okay. And had you taken, like, had you created some financial boundaries, for example, where he couldn't access the family's money without, you know, you signing, you know, off on it too, or, you know, you have separate accounts, or kind of what have you done to protect yourself on that level?
Yes, I took over all accounts. However, cash is hard to track.
Of course.
And that's where I found out.
And are you concerned for your safety or your children's safety? You're saying he's kind of dealing with some unsafe people in all of this. Are you concerned there?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if they followed him home. I don't know those things.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if they know where he lives. So that's my main concern here.
Just so I understand here, because we're not. This sounds, you know, when you talk about gambling addiction these days, it mostly means, you know, internet gaming sites and those sorts of things. You're not talking about that. You're talking about something involving with the mob or something. Is that what you're suggesting here, or what do we mean exactly? What kind of danger are you in?
I think it's more along the lines of like the sports gambling, like bookies. You know,
I see.
So actual, exactly. Very physically present people in your life that, if he doesn't pay his debts, can retaliate in ways that frighten you.
And is he able to pay those debts at this point, or you're in a situation where that's not going to happen?
Yes, no, everything's cleared. Everything's cleared.
Okay, all right. So there's not an immediate danger to you guys.
No, okay. No. But if he does not stop, then
absolutely.
Yes, definitely.
So you're asking the question, what does compassion mean in this situation? You know, we're always called to work for the good of the other person. And in a case like this, when you're dealing with somebody who has an addiction of any kind, whether that's a addiction to a substance or a behavioral addiction, being compassionate means insisting that he follow the structures that are in place to keep him sober, and to keep you guys safe. Right. So the first stage would be, you can be here as long as you are going to therapy, going to Gamblers Anonymous, you know, whether that's however often he has to go in order to maintain his sobriety. So that might mean every day. And there are online meetings as well as face to face meetings. But, you know, what are the things that his therapist, asked him to do? I presume it says you were in marriage counseling as well. What were the things that your marriage counselor asked you to do? You know, if he's doing those things, if he's going to Gamblers Anonymous, and he's and that is helping him stay sober, so you guys are safe, then he can stay there. And insisting that he do those things as a condition of staying there is what compassion would be in that situation. Because, you know, we're talking about love and compassion, okay? So compassion means to suffer with the person. So you're not saying to him, "This is your problem. Go fix it." You're saying, "Honey, I love you, and I'm in this with you. I'm committed to your sobriety, and I'm committed to building a life with you. But I need you to do your part so we can walk this journey together." That's what compassion means—to suffer with, to journey together. And so, but you can't journey this by yourself, right? So if he's not walking with you, you're walking by yourself, and that's not compassion. So it's compassionate to insist that he do the things that his therapist, that your marriage counselor insisted, that anyone who's trying to recover from an addiction needs to do, like going to, you know, their support group and working with their sponsor to really be sober. Now, that's step one. If you find that he's doing those things consistently, and you're still not safe, he's still doing things that are jeopardizing your well-being or your children's well-being, then it is absolutely appropriate to say you can't live here if you're going to continue to do that. You have to choose whether you love us or your addiction more. And that's often part of the hitting rock bottom that people with addictions have to hit. Because the thing is, for people with addictions, it's not a problem for them. You know, an addiction is a problem for everybody else. It's not a problem for the addict. For them, they think they found the answer. This is what makes me feel better. This, whenever I'm dealing with stress or I don't know how to process my emotions or solve a problem, this is what I go to that makes me feel better, and you're trying to take that thing away from me. So they end up loving that addiction more than they love anybody else. So if he cannot follow the program and maintain his sobriety and keep you guys safe, then he cannot be there. And that actually is a loving and compassionate choice, because you don't want to put your husband in a position where he's endangering the people that he's responsible for.
Yeah, it's actually working for his good, because you're putting him in a position where he has an invitation, at the very least, to wake up and see what his behavior is doing and be shocked into committing himself to his recovery. But the other thing that's very important to remember here, Bethany, is that you're not just working for his good. You have three children who have to remain primary. The church teaches us that those who are in most need, who can do least for themselves, are the ones that need to be prioritized. And you have three children who can do nothing for themselves. And so working for their good, their physical good, their spiritual and emotional good as they grow up, because they need a father who's healthy and present, and a mom who's unfortunately having to be called to be strong enough to keep them safe. That is primary in this situation. You've got three young children who cannot draw any kind of boundaries for themselves. They need you to work for their good first and foremost in this situation.
So, Bethany, you know, we're pointing you in a direction. But I think you need to get some professional support for yourself as well. And whether your husband would join you or not, I would really like you to reconnect with your marriage counselor. Even if you weren't, you know, talking about working on the marriage, to work with a good marriage counselor, even on an individual basis, that person can teach you how to set appropriate boundaries that work for your husband's good as well as your good and your children's good. That protect the integrity of the relationship without throwing this, your safety or health, or his safety and health, under the bus. So those are big questions, right? And there's a lot of moving parts to that. And you having to figure that all out by yourself, you know, isn't...
Especially at 3 months postpartum.
You know, it's not a position anybody wants to be in, and you shouldn't have to do that. And the good news is there is professional help that can help you navigate these waters. You should be accessing that as well. So it's not just about, you know, what he needs to do to get healthy. It's about what you need to do to make sure that you're being healthy in your ongoing relationship with him. Because even if he moves out, or even if you were to get divorced, and I'm not counseling for divorce, but in the catechism, it says, you know, that in situations like this, where you have to protect yourself from financial danger or physical danger, or you have a right to separate from bed and table. That doesn't do anything to negate the fact that you are married in the eyes of the church, but it creates a legal document that allows you to set appropriate boundaries to protect yourself. So anyway, this is something that you want to walk through with somebody on an ongoing basis. So if you were happy with the work you were doing with your previous counselor, I'd really encourage you to reengage with that person. But in terms of your specific question, the most compassionate thing you could do for your husband is set very clear boundaries that if he wants to stay in the home with you and your children, he needs to be working his program and maintaining sobriety. If he can't do one of those two things, he needs to not be living with you. Thank you so much for the call, Bethany. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. We are here for you on the show and at CatholicCounselors.com. We have to go to break. When we come back, we are continuing to take your calls about compassion fatigue, about that tendency we can have to burn out as we try to take care of others. You know, it's good to be there for others. God wants us to be generous. And honestly, it feels good to be generous to other people. It's wonderful when we can see that, you know, the things we are doing for others are making a difference. But it can come to a point where if we are serving in unhealthy ways, either for ourselves or others, the service we give can either make the other person less healthy, it can burn us out, it can even wreck the relationship. Caring for others in a way that's healthy and godly is critical. And so if you find yourself in a place where you are caring for others very generously and as hard as you can, but it's burning you out, wearing you down, or not bearing the fruit that you think it should, then maybe you need to step back and talk through how to change that approach. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. Today's verse comes from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2.
Bear one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ.
Note what St. Paul does not say. He does not say, hey, Christians, it's your job to personally bear everybody else's burdens.
Till your back breaks and you just leave the burdens on the side of the road because you're dead on the side of the road.
It says, bear one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we talk about this actually on our Catholic HOM app. In one of the videos there, we talk about how St. Bonaventure said that the Trinity was a three-bucket water wheel. It was like a three-bucket water wheel. The buckets were constantly pouring themselves out, but never running dry, because the other two buckets were immediately filling them back up again. And St. John Paul made the point that families are supposed to be like the Trinity, where we serve one another generously, but we never burn out because everybody else in the family is being as generous as we are to them. And now that's hard to achieve, that ideal, in reality sometimes, but that's what we're aiming for. That's the goal. And if you're struggling to meet that goal, then give us a call today. Let's talk it out and help you care for others in ways that allow you to care for yourself, too. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The binary choice between life and death is the engine that drives the entire story of human history. It's there in the garden where Adam and Eve made the wrong choice. It's there in the days of Cain and Abel, when they have to choose between right and wrong worship. It's there with Joshua in chapter 24, where he says, "Choose this day whom you will serve." And the binary choice is there with King David, when Bathsheba catches his eye. It's there in Proverbs 14:12. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." And it's there in Jesus' teaching, "Will you build on the rock, or will you build on sand?" And when we talk about imitating Christ, we mean that we want to be like Jesus, who always makes the right choice, choosing God above created things. He chooses life, and for those who follow him, he promises abundant life, even eternal life.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
As Catholics, we are called to protect life at every stage, but our culture continues to impose threats against the sanctity of life, making the pro-life cause the preeminent social issue of our time. But there is hope. The Christ Medicus Foundation and CMF Duro have partnered with one of the country's leading health care ministries to provide Catholics with a pathway to pro-life, Christ-centered health care. Support the culture of life and learn more about CMF Duro at MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Compassion Fatigue, as we talk about how caring for others shouldn't burn us out, but the reality is often it does. So whether you are feeling burned out from taking care of small kids or troublesome adult children or an elderly parent, a struggling spouse, or a drama magnet friend or family member, let us help you strike a better balance. 877-573-7825. Before the break, I mentioned our Catholic HOM app. It stands for Catholic Home. It stands for Catholic Households on Mission. And it's a resource that we created for Catholic families to help you live the Catholic vision of family life. It's free to download. But the resource is really all about finding this balance that we're talking about. How do we create the kind of family life that allows us to be generous to each other without burning out? How can we support each other? And how can we get the resources we need to be the family God is calling us to be? Learn more at CatholicHOM.com or download the Catholic HOM app today from your Apple or Google Play Store. With that, let's continue taking your questions about compassion fatigue today on More to Life.
Well, Carrie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio, submitted a question. She said, I've been with my company for a little less than a year. My boss thinks anything that he needs is everybody else's job to fulfill. Staying late, emails at 11:30 at night, even rides to pick up his sports car from the service station before the workday begins. I and many of us are told that if his life runs well, then he can focus on building the company and we all succeed. But that's really hard for a lot of us, and it's messing up our lives. Several of us are dealing with daycare issues because of the unexpected requests that he makes. What can we all do?
Start looking for another job.
The whole company.
Ultimately, that is the company culture. And, so there was a book several years ago. I don't know if it's still in print, but the title kind of grabbed my attention. The title was Quit Your Job. And the premise of the book was the idea that several studies had noted that when people gave notice, the 2 weeks or month before they actually left were in many ways some of the most productive and satisfying times of that person's time at that job. And the reason for that was that they started setting healthier boundaries and started working in a way that was good for them. And they were able to get things done. In other words, that was the funny thing. It's like their productivity went up, even though they were working in a way that was more satisfying to them, and everybody got off their back because they were leaving. So my suggestion to you would be quit your job, whether you quit it or not, to start asking yourself, you know, what boundaries would I need to set here to approach this job in the healthiest way possible? Now, you're going to get pushback on that. And if the pushback you're getting is too great, then that does mean that you're going to need to find a different position. And I realize that's easier said than done. But the reality is, this is not a healthy environment. And unless you are able to set boundaries that make it a healthier environment, it's going to crush you. And so you have to be praying about where can I go? You know, how can I do this? Now, so I want you to start setting simple boundaries. You know, around, you know, the most ridiculous requests that he makes. And don't be afraid. You know, I mean, I realize you're going to get pushback on it, but it's okay to say, you know, I can't do that.
No, I'm not taking you to pick up your sports car at 7 a.m. You know, I turn off to preserve my well-being and the well-being of my family. I will not answer an email after 8 o'clock at night.
If you don't do it, I'm going to fire you. The best thing to do in a case like that, as terrifying as it is to say, well, then you're going to have to fire me.
Yeah. You know, because he'll either back down or at least you get unemployment insurance until you find another position. But it's okay for you to be professional enough to say, I'm your employee during these hours. I'm not a slave. You don't have to say this. You need to say it in your own mind. And these are my boundaries. And I'll tell you what, if you do it, a lot of the other employees might have the gumption to do it as well. I mean, this is how unions got started back in the day, right? Where somebody says, you know, they're asking too much. This is unreasonable. I'm being treated as an object instead of a valued person and member of this team. And I'm not going to do that. I'll do my job to the best of my ability during these particular hours. And after that, my life is mine.
There are two resources that I'm going to turn you on to as a follow-up to our advice here. The first one is God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's the book I did on boundaries. You know, how do we set boundaries that allow relationships to continue, but in a healthier way? So it's not about, you know, setting boundaries isn't always about ending a relationship. It's about opening a door to a healthy relationship. So God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. The other resource, if you find that you are too nervous to set those boundaries, my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, kind of addresses that inner dialogue that gets in our way and stops us from setting healthy boundaries. In fact, I have a chapter in the book that talks about how unhealthy relationships contribute to anxiety and how we can begin to set healthier boundaries so that we can decrease our anxiety. So those two books together could be a real help to you. Again, the title's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, and Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. You can pick up both of those titles at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And while you're visiting the website at CatholicCounselors.com, learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com, and then get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day, folks, and thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.